You are listening to Expanding Horizons, the meeting grounds for spirituality and society, religion and culture.
Today's reading is from a book. I was at a conference last week, and I shared the speaking panel with this woman. It's written a rare thing, a bestseller in theology, called Grounded, Finding God in the World, A Spiritual Revolution. The words are by Dinah Butler Bass, and it's read by Barbara Willow.
Like countless others, I've been schooled in vertical theology. Western culture, especially Western Christianity, has imprinted a certain theological template upon the spiritual imagination. God exists far off from the world and does humankind a favor when choosing to draw close. Sermons declared that God's holiness was foreign to us, and sin separated us from God. Yes, humanity was made in God's image, but we'd so messed things up in the Garden of Eden that any trace of God in us was obscured, if not destroyed. Whether conservative or liberal, most churches teach some form of the idea that God exists in holy isolation, untouched by the messiness of creation, and that we, God's children, are morally and spiritually filthy, bereft of all goodness, utterly unworthy to stand before the divine presence. In its crudest form, the role of religion is to act as a holy elevator between God above and those of us muddling around here down below. At the same time, when massive global institutions seem to rule the world, there's an equally strong counter-movement among regular people to claim personal agency in our own lives. We grow food in the backyard. We ride bikes. We brew beer. We weave cloth, we knit blankets, we shop locally, we create our own playlists, we tailor delivery of news and entertainment. In every arena, we customize and personalize our lives, creating material environments to make meaning, express a sense of uniqueness, and engage causes that matter to us and the world. It makes perfect sense that we are making our spiritual lives as well, crafting a new theology, and that God is far more personal and close at hand than once imagined. All those statistics, the ones about decline, point toward massive theological discontent. People still believe in God. They just don't believe in the God proclaimed and worshipped by conventional religious organizations. Some of the discontented, and there are many of them, don't know what to call themselves. So they tick unaffiliated the box on religion surveys. They have become secular humanists, agnostics, post-theists, atheists, and have rejected the conventional God. Other people say that they're spiritual, but they're not religious. They still believe in God, but they've abandoned conventional forms of congregating. Still others declare themselves done with religion. They slink away from religious communities, traditions that once gave them life, and go hiking on a Sunday morning. Some still go to church, but they're hanging on for dear life, hoping against hope that something in their church will change. They pray prayers about heaven that no longer make sense. They sing hymns about an eternal life that they don't believe in. They want to be in the world because they know that they're made of the same stuff as the world, and that the world is what really matters. But some nonsense someone taught them once about the world being bad or warning of hell still echoes in their heads. They're afraid to say what they really think or feel, for fear that no one will listen or care or even understand. They think they might be crazy. All these people are turning toward the world because they intuit that is where they will find meaning and awe. That which those who are still theists call God. They're not crazy. They're part of this spiritual revolution. People discovering God in the world, and a world that is holy, a reality that enfolds what we used to call heaven and earth into one. These people are not secular, even though their main concern is the world. They're not particularly religious in the old-fashioned understanding of the term, even though they're deeply aware of God. They're fashioning a way of faith between conventional theism and any kind of secularism devoid of the divine. In our time, people are turning toward the numinous presence that animates the world, what theologian Rudolf Otto called the holy. They are those who are discovering a deeply worldly faith. Decades ago, theologian Karl Rahner made a prediction about devout people of the future. He said they would either be mystics who've experienced something, or cease to be anything at all. And if they're mystical believers, there will be those whose faith is profoundly present and committed to the world. The future of faith would be an earthy spirituality, a brilliant awareness of the spirit that vivifies the world.
Thank you, Barbara. That's so beautifully read. Thank you. That was, again, from Grounded by Diana Butler Bass, who I had the pleasure to meet and work with last weekend. Diana Butler Bass is not a Unitarian, though she is, deep down. I wasn't with you last week because I was invited to that regional conference to speak on our Unitarian approach to spirituality. Conference is triennial and called Common Dreams. I was invited, and it's organized by a community of Christians that call themselves the Progressive Christian Network. The Progressive Christians. Progressive. That is not a contradiction in terms. They work within their own tradition, and they're motivated by a new wave of liberal thinking theologians like John Shelby Spong, Marcus Borg, Frank Schaffer, and the author of that reading, Diana Butler Bass, all of whom have presented at Common Dreams as well. So the conference is not made of professional theologians alone. It's amazing that that's even still a job. But lots of committed, what do I call them, rank and file churchgoers, spiritual but not religious, spiritual and also religious. So there were, in addition to professional theologians, there were just a lot of ordinary churchgoers. But why would they invite us to speak and share the pulpit? Or share the speaker's dais. I had expected expected before I went that Unitarianism was being offered along with representatives from the Australian Jewish and Islamic communities as a sort of Wunderkammer, a showcase of wonders, so that the Christians could show just how very progressive and eclectic they are, pluralistic in fact. Look at all of our assorted religions we've invited. However, our relationship to Christianity is crucially different from that of Muslims or Jews' relationship to Christianity. We have descended from Christianity, and they did not. We're like a rebellious teenager. We jettisoned much of Christianity's practices and ideas and ways, but we can't escape the fact that we still carry a lot of its DNA. For example, our idea of a church community is Christian. The shape of the service is Christian. The role of music in church, profoundly Christian. We are not, however, a Christian church. In the same way, you carry quite a lot of your father's DNA, but you do not identify as your father. Still, how many of us don't remind ourselves of our parents more often than we'd like to admit? No matter how grown up or old or autonomous we get, always measuring ourselves against their model, however good or poor we think that model was. So, okay, I thought maybe there'll be some interesting similarities as well as differences for me to consider. But what about them? What would they see looking at us? And by us, I mean me, your representative. So what I expected essentially for me was an experience like tourism, like a journey to a place that isn't home among people who are fundamentally different. I don't know how many of you travel regularly, and guidebooks will never tell you this, but there is no point in being a tourist and looking for a non-touristy experience. Your very presence makes the place, a non-touristy place, touristy with every step you take through it. It's like trying to escape your own shadow. It's impossible to go to this conference and be anything but a tourist, I thought. To observe the progressive Christians even favorably is to them, you know, to objectify them. So, okay, I prepared myself to be, one, a pleasant passing curiosity for them, two, for them to be quaint locals for me, like on traveling. So before going, what I assumed, you see, was inherently a me and them, a me and them. The prodigal son returning to tell his travels in the outlands of faith. This is what it looks like out there, guys. It's really cool. Just as in generational relationships and families, there are some topics best left alone. Things you and your parents can't talk about that don't touch on past events of individuation. Splits where the child went their own way and left the way of the parents behind. Unitarians left Christianity some time ago now, taking some of the stuff they gave us, thank you, and leaving some things behind we didn't like and that they felt maybe we didn't appreciate. So there were some residual hurt feelings on both sides. To the Christians, our heresy was a mystery to them, like the way a child's emerging self is always a mystery to a parent. Where do they get these things? To us, Christians were stuck living in the past, and we wanted to be free, man. So when I kept getting greeted when I got there as, oh, you're the Unitarian speaker, I confess I was getting a little worried. The anxiety screw was tightened on the first day when I met one of the organizers and a fellow minister, a Baptist, who was telling me about an experience he had. He was crossing a bridge one day, and he saw a guy on the edge about to jump, and the pastor ran over and said, stop, don't do it. And the guy on the bridge said, well, why shouldn't I? And the pastor says, well, you've got so much to live for. And the guy says, like what? And the pastor says, are you religious? Do you belong to a religious group? And the guy said, yes. Pastor starts edging closer. Me too. Are you Christian or Jewish? Or Christian, the guy says. Pastor edges a little closer. Me too, says the pastor. Are you Protestant or Catholic? Protestant. Me too, says the pastor. That's great. We have a lot in common, you see. What denomination are you? Are you Episcopalian or Baptist? Guy says, I'm a Baptist. And the guy says, wow, me too, Me too. I'm a Baptist as well. I'm a Baptist pastor. Are you Baptist Church of God or Baptist Church of the Lord? Guy says, Baptist Church of God. Me too, says the pastor. I can't believe this. Are you Baptist Church of God or are you Reformed Baptist Church of God? And the guy says, I'm Reformed Baptist Church of God. And the pastor says, me too. Me too, man. And he comes a little closer. Are you Reformed Baptist Church of God Reformation of 1879 or Reformed Baptist Church of God Reformation of 1915? And the guy on the bridge says, I'm Reformed Baptist Church of God Reformation 1915. And I said, die, heretic scum! And I pushed him off. So I caught on that it was a joke he was telling me. But that joke between us admitted a lot. He was admitting that it was as if to say, we Christians get that we've been jerks. We get it. We are really trying to get past that now. We see that too. We see that too. It's a way of saying, don't worry about being, Rob, what you are. After all, we invited you. We're on the same journey. We are seeing much of the same landscape. Now, I have to tell you, that real and human encounter with the pastor sharing a joke with me could easily sum up my experience there among the heathen Christians. We see it too. We see it too. So I shared one of our hymns with them that they really dug, and I think you'll dig it too. It's Leonard Cohen's Alleluia set to Unitarian verses. And we're just going to do the first three stanzas of it if you've got the sheet, but they'll be on the screen. So if you'd like to stand. And they really loved this, so I thought we'd sing it today. Please join me.
A king declared, a book was sealed, three gods were one, all truth revealed, but truth is stale and dusty, doesn't move ya. Your own life shows that there is more, other truths that shake your core, a spirit that's a living, hallelujah.
So they loved that hymn, and they said, can we borrow it? And I said, sure. The first speaker at the conference weekend is perhaps the most highly regarded theologian in Australia, and her name is Val Webb. No relation to our Val Webb, I promise you. Lovely person who I also got to know while I was there. She framed the whole experience by shouting Unitarians out at the very first keynote service. She said, and I quote, there was this one guy in the back, about 500 people went, yes! I was floored. I was completely floored. Cultural change moves slowly in large organizations. And so spirituality that would have seemed crazy to them a few decades ago, ours, is now their mainstream. That wasn't the only irony in a weekend of ironies, my friends. Few of the passionate rank and file, even some of those who came to the Unitarian talk that I gave, had never even heard of Unitarian Universalists or knew little. Some of what they knew was unexpected, and I recorded some of them for you. Here we go.
This is Guy talking about what he knows about Unitarians.
I know very little about Unitarians. I have been to a Unitarian church because one of my friends is a Unitarian, a former Uniting Church minister who decided that the church wasn't for him any more, and that he found a better community and a more intellectually satisfying community and spiritually satisfying community.
So he moved from the Unitarians to the Uniting Church?
No, from the Uniting Church to the Unitarians.
I see.
Making sure.
That's very interesting. So you know about Unitarianism from this one person's experience.
And the only other...
Yeah, that was one. Here's another.
this is Robin. Robin, what do you know about the Unitarians?
You've been around a while, and I understand that you don't really do the doctrine thing.
3 weeks ago.
Yes, that's about it. Really?
That's good. Thank you, Robin. That's all very useful. I'm going to play these for my congregation.
And you're actually quite controversial too.
Well, controversial and non-doctrinal.
Yes, that's it. That's probably why.
Peter, may I prevail upon you? What do you know about Unitarians? First thing comes to mind.
Not a great deal.
Okay, this is good. This is good. First thing that comes to mind.
Well, actually, a Simpsons episode.
The ice cream one.
They hand out ice cream and there's nothing in there. It says Unitarian flavored ice cream. That's all I know. It's from the Simpsons.
Yeah, the Simpsons episode's killing us. Reverend Lovejoy is serving out ice cream, and he says, "We have all flavors of ice cream at this religious stand. I even have Unitarian ice cream." Hands the kid an empty bowl, and the kid says, "There's nothing in it." And he goes, "Exactly." Let me see. Hang on.
Great. No last names needed.
Greg, what do you know about the Unitarians?
That it's American.
Yeah.
Right. To an Aussie, it's American.
Okay. Thank you, Greg. This is Rex. Rex, when someone says Unitarian to you, top of your head, what comes out?
Creativity and inspiration.
Thank you, Rex.
So you get the idea. Most of the people that I did these Vox Pops with had never heard of us. I'd left a few of them on there, but that get a bit boring after a while. What do you know about the Unitarians? Nothing much. You know, a lot of that. I won't dwell on what a spectacular failure for our movement that general ignorance represents, but it is a spectacular failure to think that these progressive Christians have worked toward the sort of progressive ideas contained in the reading earlier, and not only did they not hear them from us, but they think they discovered them. We are nowhere. I went through the whole, the book stall, and I looked in every index of every book, and we are in no indexes. So the word Unitarian or Unitarian Universalist, not in any of the indexes. This is perhaps, though, the mortifying reality about being, as we have always been, at the vanguard, the most progressive of progressive movements. And they talked about newly discovered things at this conference which is leaving me slack-jawed. They said things out loud like, "The Bible isn't real, you know." And it's like, and wait for it. "We are all connected in an interdependent web of beings." Or "God is the name for the great something more than us, who can be found not in heaven, but in nature and in neighbor. And in this foreign place, among these strangers, I began to feel strangely at home." Now, you've been given a slip when you came in. On these slips are all the sorts of things that were said at this conference. And if you happen to have been given one, which you see that too, you kind of go, "Yeah, I get that. I'm cool with that." If on your slip something's written there that you see too, I want you to stand up and say it out loud so we can all hear it. And wait, one at a time, for God's sake, it's going to be a massacre. If you have one of these ideas that you see too, stand up and say it into the mic. And for every time somebody does that, those of us that also see it too will say together, yes, I see that too. Okay? So hands up. Who sees what they identify? Read it.
Everyone is a theologian.
Yes, I see that too.
Well, who else?
We can see the divine in nature and in neighbor.
Spirituality can be any practice through which people seek meaning and transcendence.
Yes!
Yes. You're a Christian saying this. Remember.
Spirituality should not live in a parallel universe separate from medicine, economics, war, and government.
Yes! Yes. I see that too!
Revelation was not sealed in the Bible or any sacred text, but continues in the here and now.
Yes, I see that too.
We are all connected to all in a web of being.
Yes, I see that too.
What we now know about the universe and our place in it requires newer, better ideas about the nature of the divine.
Yes, I see that too.
We need to resist all labels as they deny our complexity and wholeness.
Yes, I see that too.
Despite how we label ourselves and others, we are all seeking meaning and transcendence.
Yes, I see that too.
Well, you get the idea. I mean, you can swap and share and collect the whole set. Later on with people. But I mean, these were all things that they were getting up in the microphones and saying, and they're saying, like, you know, I'm going to lay some really heavy stuff on you, man. And, and I'm like, oh, man. Well, okay. Now, at the talk I gave them on Unitarian spirituality, which will be shortly available on a podcast near you. I've just given it to the podcast team today to get up, and they were just, what did he say about us? You can listen to it as soon as it's uploaded. What I got from my audience was the language of revelation. Yes, I see that too, they were saying. Christian, Unitarian, progressive, traditionalist, all these labels calling us away from real human encounter with people on the self-same journey as we. Mere human beings on a search for an ultimate reality that makes sense in an evolving 21st century consciousness. I see that too. Now. And what flowered in me last weekend was not proud otherness, not defiant difference, but a much underrated species of love. The Greeks had several words for love. Philia was one of them, to describe the love of friendship. And there's a quote by C.S. Lewis. A much underrated species of love flowered in me last weekend, and I never, listen to me, in my lifetime, I never saw myself at this meeting laughing, talking, breaking bread, being loved by Christians. It is love, and not labels, love alone, which sanctifies and transforms us. And the irony is I had to go on a journey and be among strangers to be brought home to that. I went thinking I'd liberate them. It was they who ended up liberating me. Does this mean I'm suddenly Christian or that they're suddenly Unitarians? No, it means the hell with labels. It reminded me that the reality is we are all deeply, intimately connected to each other as we are to the earth and to the stars, and the real, actual universe of space-time itself, as it is, and to that great something more, whatever we call it, that presence that holds and enfolds all of it. Amen.
Rob McPherson's addresses are his intellectual property. They may only be used by other preachers if his permission is sought and expressed, acknowledgement is given that they are his work, and the addresses are used in their entirety. To seek his permission, email Rob at unitarianessay@bigpond.com.
That's our episode of Expanding Horizons for the week. The introduction is a piece named Elements by the artist CDK. The piece is licensed under Creative Commons. This is White Rabbit, out.